Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into the AFC South and the Houston Texans. And I was hesitant to sort of do them in order because I wasn't sure if Deshaun Watson was going to show up. He has shown up. So we have actually skipped Green Bay because I want to sort of see what that looks like before it all settles. But we're looking at the Houston Texans here. Bill O'Brien out, David Cauley in, notably, and I think that this is important for the purposes of our podcast here, Tim Kelly, holdover offensive coordinator. So Bill O'Brien out, Tim Kelly remains behind David Cauley as the offensive coordinator. David Cauley is got some criticism, and I don't necessarily think that I would go the route that Houston is going with their team build in terms of their coach. I like to adopt the quarterback friendly head coach model just because that ensures stability, right? If things go well, like you kind of know that they're going to keep going into the future because you can retain your head coach. If you had an offensive coordinator who's the head coach or who's the quarterback whisperer, like that's a different story. So, I get the sort of managerial sort of steady hand approach to the head coaching position. Yeah. We've seen it work with John Harbaugh in Baltimore, for example. Joe Judge with the Giants. There's been a couple other ones too that have come from special teams background, not really coordinators. So I guess an interesting approach. He doesn't come from that aspect. He's more of a position coach. But I do think it's interesting when you don't have a head coach calling a team. I think it's worth noting on that. Design pass rate, 74.2%, highest in the league. Yards per attempt, 8.9%. 8.9 yards per attempt, highest in the league. Touchdown rate, just over 6%. That's ninth in the league, so not too terribly overinflated. Third in sack rate, which is 7.6%. That's a Deshaun Watson stat. 9.4% scramble rate. That's top five in the league, and that is a Deshaun Watson stat as well. What is not a Deshaun Watson stat, which is somewhat disappointing, play action, 21.1% of passes. 27th in the league. So you're looking bottom five. Like that's not ideal. 22% improvement. It's about middle of the pack from play action and non-play action. So, you know, it does have its advantages. We'll see if they run it a little bit more under the new coaching staff, the new regime. The running backs, 0.92 routes per drop back. That's sixth. 0.14 targets per drop back. That's 20th. 0.11 receptions per drop back, that's 21st. 0.91 yards per drop back, 13th. Wide receiver position, 2.87 routes per drop back, that's 6th. 13th in terms of targets per drop back at 0.51, 0.37 receptions per drop back, that is 7th. And 5.12 yards per drop back, that is 3rd. And that's pretty amazing when you think of losing DeAndre Hopkins, that you're 3rd in receiver yards per drop back. It's an incredible stat. 1.06 routes per drop back for the tight end position. That's 14th. 0.15 targets per drop back, 22nd. 0.11 receptions per drop back. It's actually 19th, so a little bit of an edge there. And 1.39 yards per drop back. That is actually 16th. They lost a whole bunch of people last year. They lost their center, Nick Martin. They lost their left guard, Zach Fulton. They lost a right guard as well, who played a good percentage of their snaps at just over a third. Lost Fuller, lost Duke Johnson. They added a whole bunch of people here. So they added Justin McGarry, Garen Christian, Lane Taylor on their offensive line, Marcus Cannon. They added Tyrod, Mark Ingram, Chris Conley, Alex Erickson, Rex Burkhead, Andre Roberts, Ryan Izzo, Philip Lindsay, to name a few. Their offensive line ranked 8th in terms of PFF grade last year as a unit. Laremy Tunsil's back. He was 6th for tackles in PFF grade. That's a very good anchor on your left side there. Max Scherping, he was a second-round pick last year, 45th out of 92 in terms of ranking for guards there. He's projected at left guard. Justin Britt missed the entire 2020 season. He was a free agent on the street, wasn't signed, came off an injury where he missed basically a lot of 2019 as well. So it's been almost 2 full years that we've seen there. Some questions there, you know, with his health and ability at this point. They traded for Marcus Cannon. He opted out via COVID last year. So, again, have a bunch of questions there. And then Titus Howard, their 2019 first-round draft pick, 56th out of 93 qualifiers at the tackle position. So lots of questions there. Listen, I think this is no shock. You know, we could sort of run down the litany of Deshaun Watson stats. I think suffice it to say, if Deshaun Watson is healthy, if Deshaun Watson is not suspended, not getting in legal trouble, not getting in, you know, sexual harassment, sexual assault situations anymore, right? Putting himself and his career at risk by doing those sorts of things. He's a top 5 quarterback in the league. He's a top probably 3 fantasy asset. I mean, I had at the beginning of the offseason, I had, you know, the Supermax quarterback tier. And I said, it's basically once Dak gets signed, it's got 3 guys in it. It's got Mahomes, and then it's got Watson, and then it's got Dak. And now it's got 2 guys in it because Dak did sign. You know, Watson, we still have the impending concerns. But outside of that, like, the guy can play, right? He can absolutely play. And, you know, this offense leads the league in yards per attempt last year and threw it a ton. So, I mean, that's just like it. They actually kind of did it right. Like, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I think if he's healthy, he's in a tier with Prescott. That's at 2 and 3. And that's overall. So I think if you take a year discount on that and you're getting him, you know, 3rd, 4th round now, because of where his price is, I think it's going to come up a bit. We'll see. There's still enough uncertainty out there. I think people still think he's going to get suspended. I should do some polling on that probably in the next couple of days here in terms of checking that out. But I do think that's still going to be a market perception. Listen, if he does, like, we sort of know that's the risk. Treat it like a year risk. And if you do that, like, he's a late first-round startup pick. So that's really the situation there. Again, he's very good. Like, we could sort of run down all the stats, but it's good. Like, it's really, really good. Brandon Cooks, 21% target share last year. You know, they are missing Fuller, so that's interesting in terms of how this offense is going to come together. Cooks, 21%, 2.05 yards per route run. That was 22nd in the league. So, again, very good. Right, and I think that was one of actually his better years, and honestly, it's probably underappreciated. So, you know, he's still a value. He's going in like the 40s. Like, this is just absurd. Just keep pounding on him, and you know, he's the classic example of a buy and hold, because people aren't, you know, he's going to outproduce his cost, and people aren't going to be particularly interested. And it's kind of like the dividend stock that just keeps grinding out value, right? That's kind of where he is at this point. 9% target share on Randall Cobb, 1.65 yards per route run. So about middle of the pack. There's some rumor there that he's going to be traded to Green Bay. So just sort of keep that in mind. They did bring in Anthony Miller, who he hasn't been very good. Nico Collins is here as well. It's a pretty much a disaster show outside of Cooks. So again, if Cooks can stay healthy, which largely he's shown that he can in his career, much to the popular contrary to facts beliefs about him, he's been largely healthy. I know there's some narrative out there, but like he's going to eat, especially if Watson's back. Like I kind of wonder the whole situation is like, how do you at this point do it? I know that there's plenty of smoke around Philly. Philly is probably going to like throw a ton of picks at them and some assets and like be able to go down that rabbit hole there with Houston. And like that makes a lot of sense. I'm not sure how much it works right now. So we'll see. I think it's still possible, but as you go along in training camp, I'm not sure how it wouldn't matter to me, right? If you get a franchise quarterback, you get him whenever you can get him and you don't let that walk out the door. I'm not sure if they're going to do that now. Like they've got, PR problems and all that stuff. So I think it's a mild upset if he gets traded. I think the more likely outcome is that he probably plays out the season, but we'll see. I think that's it's a definitely a big watch. Jordan Akins is actually one that's kind of interesting to me. He played a ton in the slot, so seventh most in the slot last year. He's essentially, he's much more of a wide receiver than he was a tight end. Again, he is a tight end qualifier, don't get me wrong, but he very much played more like a wide receiver in the slot out wide. He only played in line 25% of the time, so lots of perimeter usage and stuff. I mean, there's going to be those snaps to be had. So I think that, and that also shows up with some of the stuff as well with them running, an above the median 14th in terms of tight end routes run. Like that stuff kind of shows up in alignment. So he's one that I like kind of like a grungy deep bet, especially in like two PPR. Like I think he's really interesting because he can put himself on the flex radar, especially if Randall Cobb gets traded. Like there ain't really much there outside of Brandon Cooks. So you're betting on Anthony Miller being good for the first time in his career and Nico Collins. And I mean, there's just not a lot there. And honestly, David Johnson's like is actually a pretty good receiving back, but they don't like Deshaun Watson doesn't really throw it there. It's the running quarterback theory. So that's kind of it. There's not really a ton to write home about. I mean, I'm in on whoever the backup is at running back. I think if you're going to take a shot at backup quarterback here, it's Davis Mills. Pretty much everyone's already on that one. From a long-term perspective, I think Tyrod's interesting in the near term, run around, do some stuff. But again, even he's not super, super dynamic, even though he's got the athletic, stereotype to him, doesn't do a ton in the rushing game to really make a big, big difference. So that's pretty much it. I mean, we're watching the Watson stuff. We'll see sort of what the weapons look like again. But I just think wheels up from Cooks from a volume perspective. Like he could see a buck 40 in targets and it wouldn't shock me. So, all right, well, that'll do it for the Houston Texans. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.